On today's show, we talk about drinking around the world. Wait, no, that's not it. Epcot. It's more than just drinking and pretzels. Is that it? No. It's tips for food and wine festival.
All right. We kind of got it.
Yeah.
That was close.
All right, let's hear your intro. Like you could do better.
All right. Well, this is episode 230. I'm your host, Julie Elster, creator of WRWDW, the Disney World planning website. Today, we're talking about savoring Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival. Tips for a culinary adventure at Epcot. Ugh. How's that? Did I go too far? Was that too much?
One star.
Aw.
I don't even know what that was.
That was me saying we're going to talk about Food and Wine Festival.
Did I go to that?
You've been to Food and Wine, yes.
Oh. Yeah. That's the one where they had the little booths and that's got like the taster portions.
Where they had food and wine. Yes.
I don't think I got wine. I did get, you know.
They have more than wine.
Yeah.
They have all sorts of.
I had alcoholic beverages.
Food
I don't think
and
I
beverages.
Had just wine.
Yes. Yeah. There's a ton of stuff at Food and Wine. All the festivals have food booths. Food and Wine, obviously, based on the name, is going to have way more. So.
Is it true that Food and Wine Festival gets rowdy?
It does.
Have you seen this?
Yes. Yes. I've had drunk people approach me, say weird things.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Just, you know, slurs on what I'm wearing or doing or whatever. It's uncomfortable to be approached by super drunk people. We'll get into that. We'll get
All right.
into that.
So is that the essence of
No.
Epcot International Food and Wine Festival?
No, but, you know, we definitely are going to discuss some tips to get the most out of Food and Wine Festival. And there are definitely things you should know because drunk people are a part of it. So we will get into that as well.
But what is it?
Well, it's food from around the world. So there are dozens of food booths all around Epcot. Now, Epcot, we already know. We've got the countries, right? You can get foods from around the world. But you're going to find even more foods from all over the world. Just tons of fun taster portions, like you said. I think that's a good way to word it. You're not going to get typically one serving or one purchase from a booth is not going to be the same as like a quick service meal size-wise, portion-wise. But I think that that's a positive because you get to sample all sorts of cuisine then. It gives you an opportunity to try all sorts of different foods from around the world. So it's a really fun festival.
So like fried Oreos and corn dogs?
That's a real American thing. I don't know that you're going to find that. But hey, you know, you could check out the America's Pavilion. You might find that there. I don't know. I don't know yet. We don't have a full menu just yet. Disney will release the menu before the festival starts, so stay tuned because I'll definitely post that once we have it.
And is there anything about it that changes year to year, or is it just like, hey, the menu updates, we're going to slap your trough hog?
There are different activities every year, different artists who come and play concerts. The food booths do change. There's some that they tend to keep year over year, but the food changes every year. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm excited to explore it this year.
It sounds like a real locals thing.
It can be a locals thing. It can.
What are the key tips you're going to share here today?
I think we're going to talk about how to plan for your visit. We're going to talk about some tips on how to get the most out of the experience, out of the different food booths.
Maximizing my budget.
Maximizing your budget.
And my waist size.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that there's a lot I can do to help you on that, because my tip's going to be, you know, eat everything, try as much as you can. Like you said, it can get rowdy. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, how to avoid that. Or if you're somebody who wants to partake, maybe some tips to stay safe and comfortable and hydrated. So all sorts of fun stuff.
You know, when I went, we just walked around Epcot World Showcase. Mm-hmm. And as we encountered booths, you'd look at the menu and then decide if you wanted to order it. And it was a short, quick line. And then you'd eat it over a garbage can.
Yes, eating it over a garbage can is key.
Small portions of exotic and delicious food. I yes. cannot remember any of it. I know I loved all of it, and it was like, it was all strange and all phenomenal. So I don't see what there is to plan about this.
Well, here's the thing. When you and I went, I knew to go early in the morning for Food and Wine Festival. So that's that's
8 a.m. wine.
Big part of planning. That's something else you have to plan for. If the park opens, Epcot doesn't typically open that early, but let's say Epcot opens at 9. The food booths will not be open at 9. Food booths tend to open at 11. So that's also something you need to plan for. So planning is important. Knowing that the food booths aren't open right at opening, knowing that the earlier you go, the less crowded it's going to be. These are crucial. Later in the day, and especially evenings, weekends, that's, like you said, a lot of locals tend to hit Food and Wine Festival. So if you're somebody who kind of wants to casually walk through there, I would definitely plan to do like a lunch, you know, do a brunch, do a late breakfast, do a lunch, or do an early dinner. If you want to just kind of stroll and hit as many food booths as you possibly can. I would also suggest you look at menus ahead of time. The moment menus are posted, I will post them in the show notes. As of the day that we are recording, we don't have the full menus yet. But knowing what you want to try is going to be really helpful, because I find if I don't have a plan in place with food and wine, I end up wandering and being like, well, maybe I want this, I should keep walking, and never being able to make a decision because you get choice paralysis.
So if it gets, I saw it in the evening, it did get crowded.
Yeah.
Like uncomfortably so, to where I wouldn't want to have to walk around with a toddler.
Yes. Yeah. Walking with kids through, if you're going with young kids, this is another thing you definitely want to plan for. Understand if you're going with younger kids, if you're there in the evening, it will be very, very crowded. So if you're trying to navigate a stroller, if you're like holding a little person's hand, it might be a little bit challenging.
It's a little intense.
Also understand that later in the evening, a lot of people get
rowdy,
a little tipsy.
Loud.
So if that's not something you want to expose your child to yet, just keep that in mind. Maybe hit Food and Wine earlier and, you know, head over to the front of the park a little bit later in the evening when people are heading over there for dinner. I think that would be my advice as far as planning in advance. You know, you don't have to have a huge set in stone plan, but just have an idea of where you want to go and to avoid crowds, start early.
How early? I got to start at 11?
You don't have to start at 11, but just know by afternoon, early evening, crowds will start rolling in, lines will get long. And sometimes they run out of food. That's something else to keep in mind. If there's something you're dying on trying, you're like, I saw this on the menu, I have to have it, this sounds amazing. Sometimes they run out of stuff. So if you go earlier, you're going to have a better shot at getting what you want. Also, if you're standing in long lines, you know, they're cooking stuff and sometimes it's sitting out. And so it's, you know, it's just better to go have it freshly made while you're standing there. Lesser lines, more options, less of a risk of running out of food.
When we were there, I remember the booths that were in World Showcase itself, like that corridor that's more narrow, that was really crowded, and that's where all the people were. But there were booths on the other side. What do they call that thing? Celebration Lagoon or something?
World Showcase Lagoon.
Oh, yeah, Showcase Lagoon. The map is behind you.
Oh, it is, yeah. Isn't it? It is, yeah.
On the other side of World Showcase Lagoon by Spaceship Earth, that, you know, much shorter lines, more accessible. So are there other, you know, I doubt it, but are there other hacks for navigating this festival? Like, you're a veteran, you've been there 84 times.
So
you're running across rooftops, what?
It'll be interesting to see with this new pavilion that's supposed to open by the time the festival starts. The festival starts later this year. I think this is something else we should touch on. And I think it was due to COVID. For a while, the festival started in like July. It does not start until August 29th this year. It starts late this year and it runs until November 23rd. So the brand new pavilion will be open by then. And the whole idea of the pavilion is it'll be like the hub for these festivals. So that could end up changing the way you navigate if there are more things going on in the hub area. Otherwise, there's no real key to success as far as navigating the various booths. It's knowing what you want so that you don't have to stop, read each menu, you know, decide, go back and forth. Is this what we want? Is this what we want? Maybe have a list ready to go or grab a passport. They have free booklets called passports They'll show you the different options available at different countries. So grab one of those, kind of flip through it if you don't have time to go through it online. Decide what you want and then navigate from there based on what you're looking for.
Okay, what's this going to cost me?
I will say Food and Wine is pretty reasonable as far as food prices go. It's because it's smaller sizes. You can expect anywhere from like $5 to $10 for a food item. So if you're getting something, you know, let's say you're getting five different items and you're splitting them with three, four people, that's pretty reasonable. But ultimately, it depends on what you're eating. It's hard to say exactly what it's going to cost, but there are some really great lower cost items if you just shop around.
I remember being... Yeah, it was a la carte. You had to pay for each one, but we did split stuff and it's small portions. And so I remember thinking we got to try a lot of stuff. We got a lot of food and it wasn't outrageously priced.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a strange thing to say about Disney World.
It's, you know, I think that's a tip that I have overall as far as budgeting, but it works really, really well, especially for food and wine. You know, my tip is always like, if you want to try these fun snacks, split them amongst your group. Get three different kinds of snacks and split them amongst everybody. It works so well for food and wine because you can get their decent portions. Price-wise, you know, it's anywhere from typically like $5 to $10. So you can get three or four, you know, $6 items, split them amongst everybody, and have a pretty filling meal. And you've been able to try several different things. So budget-wise, it's great. They also sell, since we're talking budget, they sell gift cards specifically for food and wine. They're refillable if you want to. But that's an easy way if you're like, all right, we need to stay on a budget here. Load $50 on this food and wine gift card. They put them on like a lanyard. And so that way you can pay for your stuff. You've got a set budget. You're not going over it. And that can be that as far as food and wine. So I think gift cards are often a great way because you know how it is when you're on vacation. It's so easy to be like, well, I said $50. Well, but you know, and then.
And then suddenly you'd buy some snacks with it.
Some snacks. Are you making fun of my accent?
For listeners, snacks is Midwestern
snacks.
For tapas.
Yeah, we're from Chicago. We like our snacks.
Snacks.
But yeah, I'm all for gift cards because otherwise, in my head, I've got a budget and it ends up going out the window because I'm like, credit card, infinite money. So I'm looking at the menu for 2023 so that we can get some example pricing and some ideas of food here. But immediately I see several $5 options here. Dark chocolate fondue with berries, $5.75. Beer braised beef with smoked Gouda mashed potatoes, $6. I mean, these are...
Okay, very reasonable.
Yes.
And delicious.
Extremely reasonable. Belgian chilled coffee, $4.75.
Okay, how much?
Everything is between $5 and $10. So I was...
All right, hold up.
I was pretty
spot on.
At
those portions, what's 10 bucks?
It looks like everything that's over $10 is alcohol.
Okay.
All the food is under $10. Just based on last year's pricing, just a quick skim right here. Everything is so reasonably priced.
What's the most expensive thing on there?
Oh, here's sushi. All right. So I found sushi for $9.75. Everything, I'm telling you, so far, everything I'm looking at food-wise is under $10. Beverages are where you're going to get expensive. So again, if you're in a budget.
So bring it in a flask.
If you're in a budget. Oh, here we go. Poutine.
Mix some rum and Coke.
Here's a poutine. Braised beef poutine. French fries with braised beef. This one was $10.
That's so our most expensive
that's
item.
That's the most expensive thing I've seen so far that is a
And it's
food,
from Canada.
A food item. Yeah. So we're looking at some really reasonable prices here.
Now, what if I only eat tater tots and plain cheeseburgers?
All right. So my suggestion for you is that you reach a little bit. You
but
can
chicken
do it.
Nuggies.
I love chicken nuggies too. All right. I like my plain all-American kid food. I'm all for it. But this is a great opportunity to try something new. And it's low risk. You're not spending $40 on some big meal. You're spending $5, $6, $7 maybe to try something new and different. So I say, if you are a plain Jane kind of person, there's nothing wrong with that, but this is a great opportunity, very low risk, to really stretch your wings and try something new and different.
All right, hit me with it. What's the craziest thing you got on that menu?
I think the most notorious one would be the pickle milkshake. So it'll be, I hope they have it again this year, because I did not try it last year, but I heard a lot about it. So
good, bad, vomitous?
It depends on who you ask. I am not a pickle person. Relish is not, you know, a flavor that I seek
that
out.
You relish?
Ha, ba-doom-tsh. Correct. Yeah. So the pickle milkshake, I think, would be the one I'm going to go with.
I'd give it a shot. It sounds grotesque.
It does, doesn't it?
Any must-try international cuisine there?
If we're talking popular, I would say in Canada, the cheddar cheese bacon soup is pretty popular. They also have a lot of poutine options.
It's so, you know, French fries, cheese curds, and gravy.
You know, it's funny, from Canada, I also like, they often will do a flight of cider. I'm a cider fan, like the hard ciders.
Oh, I remember this.
They'll do flights of cider as well. And so that's,
I think if you're going to do personally, alcohol, the flight's the way to go.
The cider is very light, and I like that about cider. It's refreshing and light. And when it's, you know, 500 degrees in Orlando, it can feel nice. It can feel refreshing. So I don't know that light and refreshing really pair with, you know, cheddar cheese and bacon soup, because that's probably hot and very heavy, but
that's probably what you need.
Delicious.
Are there accommodations for people with dietary restrictions?
I wish Food and Wine was better. It's not great.
Plant-based options.
They do. There's typically a plant-based specific booth. There'll be like an Impossible booth. Other than that, typically the booths are not the best. So if you are vegan, do your research, because you will have limited options. Last year for Food and Wine, I actually went with a girlfriend who is vegan, and she really struggled. There were like three things total that she could eat. And so she did her research ahead of time. She knew, these are the things that I can try. And we made a point to stop at those particular booths. So if you do have allergies, if you have dietary restrictions, please, please do your research ahead of time so that you're not disappointed. If you can't eat from the booth, there are plenty of other options just around the parks in general, though. You know, that said, though, grab a passport. If you don't do your research ahead of time, grab one of those passport booklets. All the plant-based stuff will be marked in the booklet. It'll also be marked on the menus themselves, but just so you kind of know where to navigate to, everything will be marked as plant-based.
Okay, so you're talking about cheese soup. Bacon cheese soup, no less. But this event occurs August through November.
Yeah.
The highs during that time are 90. The low is mid-70s if you're lucky.
Yes.
And it's humid. How do you balance the weather, not dehydrating to death, which I've seen multiple. I've been to Disney World enough times to see multiple people taken out of there on stretchers.
Yeah. It is so important, especially at this particular event, to stay hydrated, because like you said, it is one of the hottest times of the year and one of the most humid times of the year. I mean, we're talking hurricane season, essentially, is when this festival is held. Very, very humid. So drink water. Hot temperatures, really, really humid. Drink plenty of water. It is incredibly important. It's also important because people are drinking alcohol. So if you're going to be drinking alcohol in this weather while you're sweating and walking around so much, it's going to wreck you. You're going to get drunk faster, like, let's be honest. And like you said, there's a possibility of things maybe going awry when you're drinking alcohol in this type of weather. Drink water, stay hydrated. I cannot say it enough. You can get free water anywhere. If you're ordering food from a booth, just ask them for a cup of water. Even if you're not ordering food from the booth, just walk up to where they do the pickups and ask for a cup of water. You can get a free cup of water anywhere. There are water fountains and water bottle refill stations. So please, please, please stay hydrated.
All right, how drunk do I got to get before they'll throw me out?
Probably less drunk than you think. So let's be responsible. I think we should, because we're talking about this particular festival, take a moment to discuss being responsible. And that includes utilizing Disney transportation, not driving if you plan on drinking around the world. If your checklist has a whole bunch of adult beverages, that's totally fine. But let's be responsible. Utilize Disney transportation or rideshare if you're not staying at a Disney resort. Please don't drink and drive. Let's make that very clear. Drink a lot of water. Prioritize safety. I am a mom and I stand by what I said. Be a good person. Don't overindulge.
Do what I want.
No.
All right. So I get super ripped at World Showcase like you all told us to. Everybody heard it.
I don't think I did.
How do I get out of there?
What do you mean? How do you get out of there?
What are my transportation options?
Buses, Skyliner, rideshare. I mean, there are a million safe options, so let's make sure we take advantage of those. Monorail.
Ooh, the Skyliner trash sounds like fun.
You know, it's better than getting in your car.
Do they do classes? Like, does Julie Child show up?
So, the rumor is Food and Wine Festival is known for having seminars and demonstrations. Because of COVID, they have not done them in a few years. The rumor is they should be coming back this year. And the rumor is they'll come back in full swing. So we don't have anything confirmed yet, but we're looking at seminars. We're looking at cooking demonstrations and we're looking at celebrity chefs. Some of these things will be free. Some will be pay in advance, like book in advance. If it's something you need to book in advance, do it immediately. Don't wait. Don't hem and haw about it. If you're dying to meet whoever the celebrity chef is, if you're dying to learn how to cook from this particular chef, sign up for it as soon as possible. Because these things have been gone for several years now, 3-4 years, they will be in high demand is my guess. And with things finally coming back to pre-pandemic routines, I think we're going to see in the back and we're going to see a big want for these seminars and these cooking demonstrations. Some will be free. Some you'll be able to just walk up. But anything you want to book in advance, book it in advance. And same with entertainment.
You said there was music. What are my entertainment options here? You got Bon Jovi. What's on deck?
Possibly the Eat to the Beat is what the entertainment series is called. So they do.
I think they could have come up with something better.
They do concerts and it's always really fun bands. It's a lot of, you'll see a lot of like Blast from the Past bands, some newer bands as well. But this is possibly, I think this is probably the most popular festival event at Epcot. I'd say it's this, then Candlelight Processional.
Candlelight Processional.
Candlelight Processional is great.
Stay on topic.
Eat to the Beat, though.
Give me some examples. Nirvana? The Beatles.
Nirvana and the Beatles, huh? So last year, so 2023, we saw Boyz II Men, Sugar Ray.
When I think of Epcot, I think of, cultural
Joey
world.
Joey Fatone.
World showcase, real cultured educational experience, the world of tomorrow. And you're like, all right, we got Sugar Ray.
I love Sugar Ray. You shut your mouth. And Baha Men. Do you remember that documentary we watched over the pandemic?
Who let the dogs out?
Oh my God. That wildest documentary I've ever watched in my entire life.
It's still to this day unclear who let the dogs out.
All right. The documentary is called Who Let the Dogs Out?
Would you stay on topic?
It's amazing. I am on topic because the Baha Men performed in 2023.
Is there a Sugar Ray documentary you'd like to recommend?
No, there's not. But I want to know who let the dogs out, and I may never know. And Billy Ocean wants you to get out of his dreams and into his car at Epcot World Showcase America's Pavilion, because he was there in 2023, my friend.
I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, I would too. Thank you. So anyway, a lot of great, really fun performers. And if you want to go, you can either stand in line, or my recommendation is do a dining package. Eat to the Beat dining packages. You have to eat anyway. So if you're planning on doing a meal, You can get breakfast or lunch or whatever.
I don't want to do a meal. I got all these booths.
You do have booths. That is the downside, is you're missing out on the booths.
What if I stuff my pockets with booth food?
I mean, you can do that if you want. They give you to-go containers, but if you prefer to put it in your pockets, that's a you thing.
I'll wear my best cargo shorts. So,
if you're looking for something else, Regal Eagle, which is a quick service, does eat to the beat packages. So you can get something a little bit lighter, less expensive, and you can walk up. You don't have to book in advance. So that's also an option. But I would, if you are like, I'm all for Boys to Men, I'm their number one fan, then, you know, get a dining package so that you do not miss out on each of the. Otherwise, do what I do. And I just hang out in the America's Pavilion and drink a beer and kind of listen from afar a little bit. You know, you don't get the same view as being in the pavilion, but you can hear the music from quite a distance.
So besides eating, drinking, celebrity meet and greets,
it's food music, wine festival. What do you mean besides? That's the core right there.
And classes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
There is. There's scavenger hunts.
Oh.
Yeah. You can also.
I really didn't think there was anything else.
There. Yeah. There's scavenger hunts. I'm pretty sure they'll do one. In past years, they've done one specifically over Halloween. So there'll be one throughout the festival. There'll be like a Halloween specific one, which is really fun. There's typically also, if you try, there's like a fromage. Am I saying that right? Fromage, cheese. Fromage.
I'm not French.
Fromage. I think I'm saying that right. If you go, if you eat all of like the cheese items, the fromage trail, I think is what they call it, and you get a stamp, you get like a prize at the end, which sounds like the thing for me.
Just say fromage. I know you
fromage
want to.
With my snacks. I'm from snacks. Chicago. Yeah. So lots of great fun stuff at Food and Wine. I, in the past, have dumped on Food and Wine a little bit. It's entirely because of people who get rowdy. And so I think as long as you plan ahead, it can be done right and it can be a total blast.
You're a library person.
I am a library person. Oh, I'm such a dork.
Got a PBS membership.
I do. I'm a Passport member, which means I can stream exclusive PBS content.
Like Antiques Roadshow.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's who you're listening to here.
Aw.
Who's like, pack earplugs.
I do pack earplugs.
So
if I'm going to the Eat to the Beat concert, I don't want to damage my ears, okay?
You will for sure, though.
Yeah, well, I'm going to wear my earplugs while I eat my fromage.
Is it, okay, if the Food and Wine Festival happening this year, you still don't have info for, is it at all worthwhile to plan for it if I'm going to go in 2025? Like, do I safely know, like, it's going to happen in September, October?
Yes. We don't know, like, the opening weekend. If you want to be there opening weekend and you're planning on going 2025, wait. Because, I mean, we just got the dates a few days ago for this year. But that being said, it's safe to assume that by September, it'll be in full swing. End of August is pretty typically when you would expect this to start. It'll end around Thanksgiving so that they can flip everything over for Festival of the Holidays, because Festival of the Holidays starts right after Thanksgiving. And if you go in November, you get kind of a double dip because they'll start putting up holiday decor in Epcot while Food and Wine is still going on. I've been enough times in November to enjoy Food and Wine while Christmas music is playing and Christmas decor is up. So you get a little bit of both.
Okay. In 60 seconds, summarize your top tips.
Ooh. Plan ahead. Start early to avoid crowds. Drink water, especially if you're going to be partaking in adult beverages. Know that there's more than just food. There's also all sorts of fun entertainment. There'll be classes and activities. And be responsible and have fun.
All right. You didn't even need the full 60.
I didn't. No.
So what's your one top tip other than like, don't drink so much. Your family's worried about you.
I think.
Okay.
I think for me, it's expand and try something that you wouldn't normally try. Knowing that the prices are $5 to $10, try something new. If you have never in your life had a certain type of food, this is your opportunity to try it. Very low risk. give it a shot, try some new foods. I think that's the beauty of Food and Wine Festival, and that's what you should take away from it.
I enjoyed it. I'd go back.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's all we got.
That's all we got. That's all we got. All right. Again, Food and Wine Festival runs from August 29th through November 23rd this year. I will have links in the show notes. Know that everything will be updated as we get more information from Disney World on Eat to the Beat concerts, menus, activities, seminars, all of that good stuff. As soon as we get that information, I will update everything, but you can find all that information in the show notes. If you are looking to book a trip or get a quote, you can find a link there. It supports the show. Otherwise, I will see you guys in the parks.
Tech Nasty.